From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua. Following the victory at Ai, Joshua did something that appears strange to human reasoning. Rather than pressing forward with the conquest of Canaan, he stopped to build an altar at Mount Ebal. In so doing, he was obeying the instructions of Moses, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 27. In the midst of the campaign, Joshua stopped to remind the people of Israel that God's word must be obeyed, for upon that altar were to be inscribed the words of the Ten Commandments. In a message entitled, The Altar at Ebal, The Cross, The Answer to the Curse, Dr. Cairns will seek to show that the service of God must go forward, whatever else may be important. Dr. Cairns will come to the Word of God in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 103 and verse 2. Forget not all His benefits. It is a delightful and profitable occupation to mark the hand of God in the lives of ancient saints, and to observe His goodness in delivering them, His mercy in pardoning them, and His faithfulness in keeping His covenant with them. But would it not be even more interesting and profitable for us to remark the hand of God in our own lives? Ought we not to look upon our own history as being at least as full of God, as full of His goodness and of His truth, as much a proof of His faithfulness and veracity, as the lives of any of the saints who have gone before? We do our Lord an injustice when we suppose that He wrought all His mighty acts and showed Himself strong for those in the early time, but does not perform wonders or lay bare His arm for the saints who are now upon the earth. Let us review our own lives. Surely in these we may discover some happy incidents, refreshing to ourselves and glorifying to our God. Have you had no deliverances? Have you passed through no rivers supported by the divine presence? Have you walked through no fires unharmed? Have you had no manifestations? Have you had no choice favors? The God who gave Solomon the desire of his heart, hath He never listened to you and answered your requests? That God of lavish bounty of whom David sang, Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, has He never satiated you with fatness? Have you never been made to lie down in green pastures? Have you never been led by the still waters? Surely the goodness of God has been the same to us as to the saints of old. Let us then weave His mercies into a song. Let us take the pure gold of thankfulness and the jewels of praise and make them into another crown for the head of Jesus. Let our souls give forth music as sweet and as exhilarating as came from David's harp, while we praise the Lord whose mercy endureth forever.
Thank you.
often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, and down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. The CD is $5, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CD of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis.
return to Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 today. If we read verse 30 and verse 31, but we'll be concentrating on this simple statement of Joshua 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, and as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. Near the site of the ancient city of Shechem, near the site of the later city of Samaria, stand two small mountains. They are really hills, though they are given the courtesy title of mountains. One is Mount Gerizim, and the other is Mount Ebal. There's a little road that winds nowadays between them, and each mount stands right at either side of the road, forming in many ways a natural amphitheater. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses commanded that on their arrival in the promised land, the children of Israel must raise two stone pillars, plaster them with plaster, probably lime, in which the law of God should be inscribed, and then that they should build an altar on Mount Ebal. Moses instructed that half the tribes of Israel were to stand on Ebal and say amen, as the curses for breaking the law of God were recited. The other half of the tribes of Israel were to stand on Mount Gerizim, and they were to say amen as the blessings for obedience to the law of God were recited. Thus, Mount Ebal is the mount of the curse, and Mount Gerizim is the mount of blessing. After the conquest at Ai, Joshua immediately set out to obey the Lord's commands as recorded in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. The campaign at Jericho and Ai was really a border campaign. And as soon as those border cities were secured and defeated, Joshua went to the heart of the land. He led his people the 30 miles of rough journey to the site of Ebal, and he did exactly as Moses, the man of God, had commanded. Now, as I said last week, critics have pounced on what they consider the utter unlikeliness of this narrative. They postulate that Joshua could not and would not have undertaken such a journey. Having merely reduced two border cities, he would not have ceased his campaign of reducing those cities in order to make a peaceful march into the heart of the land. Furthermore, they postulate that had he tried to do so, the other cities would not have allowed him to do so. So they say this narrative is one that is unlikely in the extreme. Then they add another argument. They say that before this, we find Israel encamped at Gilgal. When we turn to chapter 9, we find them again at Gilgal because the Gibeonites came to them and fooled them into making a league with them, and it was at Gilgal. And again, the critics say it is most unlikely that Joshua, having taken the entire nation, the 30 miles of rough terrain all the way to Mount Ebal, would then immediately have turned back and brought them back to encamp in Gilgal. Thus they conclude that this narrative is dislocated. In other words, that it doesn't belong exactly where it is here in the text. Many of them say it belongs in one place, many say it belongs in another, but most critics are agreed it does not belong here. In fact, some go so far as to say it doesn't belong in the book of Joshua at all, that it was a pious interpolation. In other words, somebody with good motives, no doubt, took this story and they inserted it because they figured Joshua should have obeyed what Moses commanded. Therefore, they invented it and put it in. So much for the critics. As usual, the critics of the Word of God are wrong. Every time I read one of the learned critics criticizing, especially the Old Testament, I'm reminded of the verdict of one of the greatest ever Old Testament scholars this country has ever produced. And I refer to Professor Robert Dick Wilson. Wilson said, "No man knows enough to criticize any statement of the Old Testament." Having spent 45 years in the closest and most intense study, and having raised himself to the position of preeminence among all Old Testament scholars, with all the necessary languages and history at his fingertips, this was his verdict: no man knows enough to criticize any statement of the Old Testament scriptures. I like the humility, and even better, the honesty of the statement, because every time the pontifications of these all-wise critics of the Bible has ever been able to be tested, they have proved utterly false. And the Bible, again and again, has proved itself reliable. In this case, The critics are wrong. Joshua was obliged by God's command to do this as soon as possible. So however unlikely it may appear to a 19th or 20th century critic, Joshua was doing what he had to do. As soon as he had secured his border, he was obliged to make a beeline for the interior of the country and get to Mount Ebal. Secondly, the action presents none of the difficulties that the critics imagine. These critics may imagine themselves to be literary geniuses, but I don't think there are many nations in the world that would stake their existence on their military prowess. And I think that a military man looking at this would see that having come across the Jordan at Gilgal, having reduced the greatest city in the entire region, the city of Jericho, having overcome the stronghold of Ai, that it made very good sense, very good military sense, to go right to the heart of the nation and from there to be able to conquer in all directions. And as for the argument that he wouldn't have gone back and forth like a yo-yo from Gilgal, I think that's rather a dishonest argument, because as every close student of the Bible knows, there was not only one place called Gilgal. There was the Gilgal just over Jordan. But there was at least one and probably two other places noted in Scripture by the name of Gilgal, and one of them happens to be right close to Shechem. So the entire attack on the integrity of the Bible is something manufactured, not because of the history, not because the facts demand it, not because scholarship demands it, But as every other attack on the Bible, it is because the depraved hearts of the critics demanded it. The Bible stands impregnable, true, and trustworthy. And furthermore, there was an important lesson for the children of Israel. Just as is an important lesson for us. Joshua had conquered two cities. Admittedly, to the carnal mind, it may make sense to go around some other little cities and reduce them. But the Israelites had to learn the lesson that what, and the words of a, this is a name you will certainly recognize, though you don't know the person, in the words of George Bush, not the president, but one of the great Bible commentators this country has given to the church. In the words of George Bush, whatsoever else stands still, the service of God must go forward. Whatever other interests may suffer, our spiritual concerns must receive attention. And this is what was being inculcated into the hearts and minds of the children of Israel. Whatever else you think may be important, there is something of greater importance, and that is getting to the altar at Ebal. Whatever else may take your attention legitimately, there is nothing should take precedence over the spiritual worship and service of your God. When you talk about priorities in the Christian life, I realize that there is a way in which you can talk of priorities in the Christian life, though most of the talk of priorities, God first, wife or family second, church third, others fourth, and yourself last, that's just a recipe for bondage. It means little or nothing. But talking about priorities in the Christian life is really simply saying that the Lord must have the central place. We must get to the altar and from there deal with everything else that faces us in our life in this world. That's what Joshua was doing when he led the people to build the altar at Ebal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.